Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." In other words, man carried the image of God and also carried or was also designed to function like God. Amen. This afternoon, I want to talk briefly on what I've called identity transformation. Identity transformation. What happened to us when we got saved is in twofold. Salvation is characterized by both identity and belonging. The Bible says that we have been adopted into the family of God. So what happened by adoption is that our identity was changed, our identity was transformed. But not only that, because of that adoption, you are now a part of the family of God. In other words, we have the DNA of God, and as a result, we have received his nature and his character. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So the DNA of God in us gives us both the nature and the character of God. The unfortunate thing is that there are many believers who, even though have become butterflies, they still believe in their heart that they are caterpillars. Of course, many of us know the story of how the caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. Now, at the stage of being a butterfly, the DNA of the caterpillar changes. The butterfly is not an advanced caterpillar in terms of DNA. The DNA of the butterfly and the DNA of the caterpillar are two completely different things. Unfortunately, many times, when we get born again, even though our DNA has changed, what happens most times is that we believe in our hearts that we have become matured caterpillars, advanced caterpillars, and not butterflies. So we still live as though we are caterpillars. We still have the same fears. We still have the same struggle, the same challenges. And God has designed us to live out who we are in Christ. Man ought to live out who he is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Are we together? We were designed to live out who we are in Christ Jesus. Unfortunately, what happens is that many times we don't live out of that. What we live out of is who we really believe we are. So if you believe that you are at an advantage, you will live from there. If you believe that there is something wrong with you, you would live from that belief. If you believe that you are poor, you will live from that belief. I've heard some people own certain sicknesses, say, "That's my sickness." I was somewhere sometime and somebody flared up, very dramatic, church person. And then the person was counseling everybody that, "You know my anger. You know when I'm angry, you know my anger." And you can preach to that person. That person can quote scriptures. "I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I experience God emotions." But if he has not believed it, he will have his anger. Does it make sense? So we ought to live out who we are in Christ, but we end up living out who we really believe we are. And that's because our behaviors is an echo of our belief. Our behaviors are echoes of our belief. When we believe lies about who we are, or believe lies about who others are, we behave the lie. When you believe a lie about who you are, or you believe a lie about who the other person is, you will behave that lie. If you believe that someone walks into the room with his head raised high, and you believe, oh, this guy is proud, the dynamics of your relationship with that person will be a reflection of that belief. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, that the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. So what the enemy did when man fell was that he came and sowed a lie to the woman and said, take, eat the fruit, and if you eat it, you become as wise as God. You become like God. They were already like God. But the enemy came and sowed a lie. And what happened was that man didn't fall until the woman believed the lie. The Bible says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was at that point she took the fruit and ate it. So what happens is many times the enemy comes to sell a lie to us. You are not good enough. And then we own it. We believe the lie, we receive the lie, we accept it, and then we start to live it out. Wrong beliefs about yourself will make you either run away from connection or it will make you perform for acceptance. It will make you to either run away from connection or it will make you perform for acceptance. If you believe, for example, like I said, that there is something wrong with you, what will happen is this. When you get into places that require that you should be vulnerable in how you relate with other people, you will either run away from that, or you will come into the place where you are performing. You're performing to want to get the love of the people. You're performing to want to get their approval. You're performing to want to get their acceptance. And you see that in a lot of places. You know, performance can give you a calling. You can get into the place and you see the way everybody is. I remember I got into a room one time of pastors. And all of them could sing. Then I started to look at myself. When I sing, the Holy Spirit comes in a hurry so that you can stop. Because if you keep singing, I don't know if you understand. If you keep singing, it's torture to everybody there. So he knows what I want. He'll just quickly come. Oh yeah, stop singing. I'm here now. And then he started to look like, and the person I went with told me, say, this is unfair. How can they can preach, they can sing? Say, I should go and do voice training. And I really can go and do voice training, not because I want to get better at worshiping, but because I want to fit into that community of those who can preach, singing priest and teaching priest. You know, and I add it to my CV. So I'm a singing priest. I'm also a teaching priest. When I teach and I break the word, then I come back to sing the word and lives are transformed. If you have wrong beliefs about yourself, you have wrong beliefs about others, you run away from connection. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. In verse 8, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. What had happened here was that all of a sudden, the man had a belief about himself that wasn't there from the beginning. If you read further down, God comes to the man and says, where are you? And the man says, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid, so I hid myself, because I was naked. God didn't debate whether he was naked or he was wearing something. The question God asked was, who told you you're naked? In other words, there is an information you have received or an experience you have received that has changed your belief system from the original. And who gave you that information? So what happened was, the moment the man bought a lie and fell, man went and sold fig leaves. What was he trying to do? He was trying to fit in. He was trying to use his own strength to create what God had given him naturally, which was the glory, which was the covering. And when that wasn't working, he went and hid himself. Wrong beliefs about others will only see what is wrong with them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." She gave me of the tree, and I ate. This is the woman that he ought to have protected. But something had happened. And he said, "It's the woman you gave me." Ladies and gentlemen, we can be unaware of deep-rooted lies and wrong beliefs about our identity until the right circumstances triggers it. We can be unaware. There can be deep-rooted lies about our identity, and it will just be there in our subconscious. We'll be unaware of it until we walk into the right circumstance. Okay, just imagine now that Pastor Derek is here and he's walking into the hall, and maybe there is something on his mind and he doesn't see you, and you greet him, he can walk past you because really he didn't hear. Am I making sense? And then he gets to the door and he sees Jerry, and he loves Jerry's outfit. And as at that time, the thing that was he was thinking about, that season has passed. So he sees Jerry and says, "Hey Jerry, how are you doing?" and hugs him. "Oh, I love your outfit." You will be there wondering, "But he passed me just now. I greet him. He no answer me." And if there is a lie there, that nobody loves me, there's a seed of rejection there, that circumstance, it's not that circumstance that created the rejection. The rejection had been there. It just needed the right circumstance to manifest. Same thing. You now make a call. Call one, call two. The person doesn't pick. Something will tell you. Say, "This person." It'll be like, "Say, now let you define them. He no define you. Don't call again." Just needs the right circumstance. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. We'll round up here. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds," note that, "and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off the old self. Remember that we were created in the image and the likeness of God. And everything that happened at salvation was that our identity was restored. And we're also put or plugged in to the family of God. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that you should put off the old self. It's not God putting off now. It's you putting off the old self so that you can be renewed in the attitude of your mind. And that so that you can put on the new self, which was created to be like God in true righteousness. That's your identity and holiness. So real transformation can only come by the transformation of your mind. Your identity is transformed when your mindset, your belief system is transformed. The Bible says that put off the old self, be renewed in the attitude of your mind. So you don't just have a mind, you have a mindset. You don't just have a belief, you have a belief system. Amen? I'll give you a clear example. There was one day we're arguing in my extended family. We're having one very hot debate over different things. And then somebody brought out one hypothesis we are yet to prove. That when you have running stomach, take charcoal and put it under your armpit. Now, if the person had said, put it in water, drink it, or chew it and swallow it, I would have said, okay, maybe at some point there is a chemical reaction somewhere. But I tried to marry the thing. You take charcoal under your armpit, it will stop. We argued the thing, and you know, the person with argument can never be at the mercy of someone with experience. The person said, I've done it, it worked. I tried it, not once, not twice, not three times. So when you have testimonies to validate your... I had to keep quiet. It's funny, it makes a good laugh, but how many things have our minds been set on? How many things? You know, there are some of us that might be seated here that just believe that if you are walking, you hit your leg on stone. And you complete it. Especially the left leg. Say something. If you have a belief system that anything that happens, things not just they carry, they happen, a person. What happens is that you will come into a place and you can't connect with people. You will suspect everybody around you, everybody. Because when something happens, you don't know where the thing is coming from. It can be your life group member. It can be your cousin. It can be your uncle. What's happening is a belief system that is at play there. When lightning strike, and we believe all of these things. So our identity can only be transformed when our belief system is transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do I transform my mind? Very simple. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible says that they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. This was what the early church did. And the next verse says that great signs and wonders followed this. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. They gave themselves. So we must give ourselves to training. We must give ourselves to instructions in righteousness. We must give ourselves to the Word of God. We must let the Word of God transform our belief system, transform our hearts, transform our lives. We must believe the Word of God more than we believe our experiences. We must believe the Word of God more than we believe our emotions. Somebody was telling me last week, he said, does God answer all prayers? I'd not answered that one through another question. He said, but let's admit it, God is slow sometimes. I can't admit it. Because the moment I admit it, I'm in trouble. And that's why there are many of us, when we have emergencies, we are not thinking of praying. We are thinking of who to call. Because God is not for emergency. It's for long term. You must give him 6 months notice so that he can prepare. You must give him 6 months notice. He said they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. They gave themselves to fellowship. They gave themselves to fellowship. They gave themselves to fellowship. What happens when we fellowship with one another is that identity is imparted to us. When we fellowship with one another, when we fellowship with God, identity is imparted. And how do I know? How did you get your identity biologically? How many of us, they've told you look like your mother, like your father? Okay, how many of us, you don't look like anybody in your house? And even if you don't look like anybody in your house, there is sure one thing you will do that will say, now your papa be this. No, this is your mother's character. You say, that smile, that's how the mother smiles. Or there is one passion You just have. Some of you don't know why you like pounded yam till tomorrow. You can't even make it because of the stress. Some of us don't know why we like plantain. You don't know. Some of us don't know why we can't sit in one place. But is that when you were growing up, you had a father that was everybody's guy, you know? So you were always in one uncle's house, one auntie's house, one family friend. And you have grown up like that. What happened is that you have taken your identity from that. So also, spiritually, we take our identity from our father, which is God. Our interests, our passions, our likes come from him. And that can only come through fellowship. Same thing as we fellowship with one another. The nature of God is revealed more and more in us. You can't develop the fruit of the Spirit outside relationship with people. You can't be patient by yourself. You can't be long-suffering until somebody has activated it. You can't be humble until you have met the right network around you to bring out the humility. So I'm a very humble person. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The breaking of bread there talks about the communion, not love feast. And they gave themselves to prayer. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes you. So the more you pray, the more you fellowship with him, the more you come into alignment. Your desires come into alignment with his desires. Your heart comes into alignment with his heart. The more you have insight into what his will is, what his plan is, the more you have. And so we need to give ourselves to this. The Bible says they devoted themselves. In other words, they gave. It's hard work. It's hard work. Many of us to be seated here now at noon is a sacrifice. But you've given yourself to it. So also, to fellowship with believers is hard. There are several other things you can be fellowshipping with. But you want to become more like him, this is what you need to give yourself to. Amen. Let's rise to our feet.